So I had Buscago on the podcast, and I was like, Buscago, you went bungee jump. How do you do that? Like, I saw your pictures and your videos. I'm like, I'm going to talk to her about it. How do you get, I don't know if this sounds bad. We call it, it's a slang. We say, how do you get the balls to do that? Like, how do you get... I'm Bonnie Kibuka. On my podcast, The Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Ozoo-Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon.
The weather in Uganda, really.
I know, I've had everybody. Everybody was complaining about the weather.
Yeah, it's so cold. It's been raining the whole morning. So,
yeah.
It stopped about an hour ago. So. Yeah.
Rain is not bad. The farmers like the rain.
Well, I also like it, but when it also becomes too much, then it causes trouble. But yeah, this is better than the dry season because that was way worse.
Right. Eunice, yeah. Welcome to my podcast.
Finally, this happens.
I was going to start with that. Eunice, it's been like a year and some months, a long time. Because I remember I recorded with Nubs, and that was the first time I got connected or introduced to you, because I know she mentioned your name here. So I was like, I'll reach out to her and ask her if she wants to be on the podcast. Eh, now I had to find you, Banang.
It's available, only that those days I was in a hard to reach area. I was in Bwindi, so I didn't want us to start recording when it goes off and all that. So I knew there's no way I'm going to record for like an entire hour. Mm-hmm. With like straight networks. So there's no way we're going to do it then.
I know, I appreciate that actually, because I've been fighting internet. All of people who are not even in the hard to reach area. And since my podcast is online, it doesn't come out well. Nga, you don't have good internet. And there's a few podcasts we've had to redo because the internet was not good. So I appreciate that. And yeah, so you came to Kampala and you reached out, Nogamba, I'm ready to do the podcast.
Yeah, so I was like, if I don't do it now that I'm in Kampala, we might end up doing this in like 2050.
So I might have spoiled one of the questions I was going to ask you, but like, I usually like to ask people how they ended up on my podcast, but I might have given it away when I was talking, because I know Nubs recommended you to be on the podcast. So that's how you ended up here. But generally, like, how is life? How are you doing? How are things going?
I've been on the road for like 2 weeks straight, so it's definitely a good time for me. So I can't complain, because that is what I love. So I guess life is good generally.
Yeah. For the listeners, I've been trying to do introductions for my guests a little bit. I'm not going to say a lot, because Eunice does travel, tourism, anything concerning that. And that's mainly what we're going to be talking about today. How she got into it. And so, beginning with that, how did you get into like wanting to travel and wanting to document the things you do on Instagram and on YouTube?
Of course, initially it wasn't about content, because I don't think by then I had the idea of creating it as content. It was just loving to travel, going to new places. But in the beginning, because we know that it is costly to travel. So I had to first look for ways that were going to allow me to be able to travel. That is why I started from tourism-based pageants, Miss Tourism, Miss Earth, all those ones. Because I knew that if I got a nice position there, it would be easy, because I'd already seen those queens being taken to like different places.
Right.
tourism destinations. Yeah, so at first for me that was that, and then with time I figured out ways of doing it. So I guess that is how it started.
That actually, that's very good that you mentioned that, because I had it down here that, and I wanted to focus on that a little bit before going to something else. You participated in a pageant and when you were 19, and that's one of the very first picture on your Instagram. You talk about that in your caption, that when you were 19 and they took you to these places, like you just explained, they take you to these places to visit. But for you, you always dreamt that that's you wished you could do something like that, in the future. And now to go back and being paid to do the thing that you wanted for. Talk about that a little bit more, because you kind of were saying out to the other child, another girl out there who has the same dream or who doesn't even know they have that dream, and you're telling them to keep the dreams alive. How was that for you?
I guess it starts from what you're actually passionate about, because I don't think I'm going to inspire someone to love something. You know, you might think travel, everyone likes traveling, but even with traveling, you realize people travel for different reasons, for, you know. Yeah, so, but if travel is something that you like, just like it was something that I liked, you have to find for whatever area you love. I think with time you find ways of doing it the right way, because you might love travel and think maybe I'm going to now get money from, I guess, men or wherever, because there are always those other shady ways of getting. But for me, I wanted to get into something that was legit. I wanted something to be able to now tell the story and tell someone that I did this. I started from here to here to here, and then now I'm here, not waking up and boom, I'm going to all these nice places, and there is no explanation to that. So pageants for me was the first thing, because it was, first of all, not free to enter and contest, but it was affordable at that time. And yeah, I don't know if I've answered your
No,
question though.
you have. I'm gonna just ask you, I'm gonna follow up with a few questions. Like, going into pageantry, is
Yeah.
that now beginning with pageantry, is that something you wanted always to do, to be in pageantry, or is it something that was opportunity was there and you decided to take it?
Pageantry as a whole used to excite me, but then I don't think, like, I like to watch other people contest, but I never really imagined myself contesting, because growing up I was actually not, even now I'm not that girly, and pageants are for girly girls, you know, makeup, nice nails, nice jewelry. That was never me. But I guess at that point I was like, if this could be the avenue that I'm looking for, then I mean it doesn't hurt. So I don't think initially I wanted pageants as pageants. I just selected the pageants that were in line with what I wanted, and that's what I went with.
No, I understand that, because sometimes when look, I'll give an example of this. Like, if you have a goal, if you have a destination you want to go, you might start, you take a border from Wakiso, so it takes you to Nansana, then you catch a taxi, it takes you to, so you use different means to get to your final destination. So you might have used pageantry to get you to, I mean, it might not have been the dream that this is what you want to end up to, but you use that to be as your means to get to where you are now. And I like to encourage people that, because you might start out with not something you want. Like, I tell people that when I started out, I set out as a cleaner. Like, I would clean the school that I went to, like I would mop, I would do that, but that I was using that to take me to the next level, to take me to the next step. And anybody out there, you don't have to wait to win. Oh, I'm gonna wait till I hit it big. But like you just explained, like there's a trace, there's something you can follow to get to where you want to get. But yeah, you have answered my question. Now, I had Mr. Musingus here and Nabs Earl and people, you guys who are in travel now and creating content. Because when we were growing up, this is not something that was a thing. I didn't know anybody who was doing it, you know, like I did, I'm going to be honest. But when you went to, and I know you went to school in Uganda and all that, but when you went to school, did you do like, I know now they have courses of tourism at university. Is
Yeah,
that
they
something
do.
you studied, or did you study something different?
I did mass communication, very different from tourism. Yeah.
Then did tourism just come in as, okay, this is, it's here. Now, Have you ever even used your mass communication, or mass communication went to the side? Ngamba, let's just go here on what he sent.
So I love traveling, but I never, like I said, I never thought of it as something that I would do maybe as a job or something. Just knew that it's something that I would do frequently if I got money. Yeah, but then, so the job section is thought of being on TV. I love media. I love camera, both behind and in front. So I just thought, okay, so like midway school, like second year, I thought, okay, now that I love travel and, you know, I'm starting to be on TV, because apparently when you're doing mass communication, you think you're going to end up on TV. And I used to think, okay, I'm going to do like a travel show. For me, initially, that is why, that was the initial plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then after school, I did work with a few media houses, but mostly in Western Uganda. And I also tried out some stations in Kampala, but they weren't really giving me something that I wanted, or they were giving me different things. Probably it was either the money what they were giving me, so things were not necessarily adding up to what I wanted. So that is how I used my small camera skills to start recording myself and everything, and then do tourism. Yeah, so
that's
I did it my own way.
Yeah, I also like to think about the parents' side. You know, when our parents sent us to school, they wanted us to be successful people. They want you to be a doctor. Umwana wange banange, he's now a doctor. He's now like Vichy. When your parents found out you're going to this route, was that an issue with them, or at that time you were on your own and you can do whatever you want?
Well, you know, with African parents, you're never really on your own. You might think you're on your own, but they'll still be asking you questions.
With African parents, you're never on your own. Let's revisit that now that the internet is back. So you mentioned they were still questioning it.
They didn't stop me, but I didn't do it entirely. Like, I would do my normal job, then when I got like a day off, or like during weekend, I would go shoot my content and post it during the weekday. So I didn't have to do that entirely. For them to start asking me if I think that is going to work out, I think it is like a very good decision. So yeah, it took baby steps. It's not something that I did out of the blue.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, even if the parents are not gonna be happy. For you exactly. See it. Not everybody is going to see your dream or your picture or what you're seeing. So sometimes you have to try it out. And then it works out sometimes. Sometimes it does not. But you'll never know unless you try. The other thing that I saw was really cool about you was you've visited all parks in Uganda. How did you do that? How did you do that?
I think I should do a documentary because... Yeah. I didn't even know it was going to take 2 years, because I thought maybe around three, because you know how expensive it could be, even just visiting one, because you know how our parks are literally like all over the country, the east, the northern part, southwestern, this side. So, yeah, so I don't know where to start from. Financial-wise, getting time, where exactly do you want me to
start with getting time?
Time. Obviously, I had to wait for weekends because, you know, 8-to-5 jobs, you're at work all the time. Yeah, it was mostly in weekends. Apart from the three last national parks that I did this year, after I'd left another job, as I was searching for another job, then I used that time to, like, fix them in there, using the money that I'd gotten from the job that I'd just left. But the other ones were from weekends and the free days that I got.
Does that money come back when you use it, like, to travel? Is it like an investment or is it just a leisure?
I guess for me, the entire channel has just been an investment, because if I was to wait for the money that I invested in, even like the first 10 videos, trust me, I would still be waiting till now. So that goes back to doing something that you love. Yeah.
No, that's good. So, you mentioned about the money, like you used some of the money you got from the other job to do this. It would be really exciting. How did you then travel? Like, did you rent a car to go to all of them? Or did you have a group of people that you were going with? Were you solo?
I think it was only for one national park, Kidepo, that I did a group, that I used a group trip, because that one was offered by a certain safari agency called Rambura Safaris. They reached out to me. The guy literally first started the parks I'd not been to. He's like, so have you been to Kidepo? I'm like, no. So So it's like, I'm heading there in a month from now. Would you love to join? And something like that. So we talked it out. And so it was a collaboration. We worked together. And which I honestly love, because Kidepa was going to be like the most expensive park for me to visit. Because it's way, way up there in the north, very far. Yeah. It's not like these are parks where there's like budget accommodation around. You know, there's no... Yeah, so it is sort of in a hard-to-reach area. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is Karamoja side. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that that came at the right time. But the other parks I used... I just used public memes and...
What about... I saw a clip of one of the guys who was in the game park with a border board. I think he was going around on Instagram and...
The things I've done in those national parks, that is why every time I now go back, they'll be like, I don't remember your name, but I remember you.
So how did you get to pick on which one to start with? Was this just lack of opportunity? Like, when did you say, okay, now I'm going to... And was that a goal? Like, I want to visit all the national parks? And how did you pick the first one?
Actually, for the first two national parks, it wasn't a goal.
Okay.
It really wasn't. But then I realized, even in other things that have nothing to do with travel vlogging, there's a way goals sort of move me, because when I wake up, you know, it's like setting it as a goal and like, today I'm going to do this and this. So you feel there's a way that drives you.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that was going to help me, because apart from that, I was just going to keep doing like one park per year.
Yeah.
But after like the third one, I was like, why don't I actually go to all of it? In fact, when I was starting, I didn't even know we had 10 national parks.
Mm.
I did the first one, did the second, did the third. And I was like, wait, so I'm left with 7. How about... You know, I could do this. I didn't even give myself like a time space. I was like, let me just do this. I mean, yeah. So, but it was personal. I never really put it out there, because again, I did pressure from people of like, you know how people can be like, you've taken a very long time without giving us a national park now.
Yeah.
So just.
So I got a content. People want content. Yeah. Give us content. Exactly.
Yeah, so I just told them on like the 8th one, I'm like, by the way, 2 national parks to go. And they're like, wait, what? You're going to go to all of them?
Yeah.
But at that point, I already figured out how to do the rest.
Oh, that's my dream. I've only been to, I think, like 3 or 2. I think I'm bad. I don't even want
to
say it
on
air.
I have
time to. But the cool thing is, like, whenever I come back to Uganda, I try to get my family to go to something, like last time I was there, we went to Makshin Falls. So we've been going to different places, and I like that, because it makes me happy, hang out with family, and then you get to see your country, like the beauty of Uganda. And that's one thing I have to appreciate you, the guys who are doing content about Uganda, because we hear a lot of, I mean, not even just here, we know our country, what is struggling with, what is going on, but we also know what our country is rich in. Like, we have a lot of beauty. Like, regardless of where the state of the country is, we have and other stuff that we have not even seen. Like, most of us, people who are going to complain, Banange, Ngudoze, Kampala, and B, which is true, the roads are bad. But when you go out there, then you see, Banange, that's beauty. Like, that's beautiful. Like, when I look at your Instagram page, it's like, is that even Uganda? Like, you know, because we don't know, but we know that the roads in Kampala are bad, and that's what we see. And that's why the Baganda have that saying, Atanaita, yeah, atenda nyino kufuma. Like, if you don't travel, you only comment about what you know.
Exactly.
I appreciate you guys for that. What is something you've learned you've loved about doing this kind of content?
Of course, the obvious one is doing what you love, because apart from creating content and doing all those other things, that is what you love. So that kind of overshadows all the rest of, are you getting your money back? Is it really worth it? Blah, blah, blah. So I get to do what I love, and I also get to enjoy. I mean, now I get to enjoy places that I would have never thought of going to, because like most of the safari lodges I create content for, I don't think I would have been able to afford a night there. So I get to enjoy that and still get paid to enjoy that. So for me, it is a win-win.
That is true. Like, that is something I always try to remind people. Like, every time you do something you love from your heart, it's going to give you the energy to keep doing it. And when I decided to do the podcast, it's something I love. I love to talk to people about what they do, how they did it. And because I love it, that's why I continuously do it. And people will be like, Panangi, how do you get time to do all these podcasts? You know, it's because I love it and because I push myself to do it. And I come up with a strategy on how I'm going to do it. And it helps you to keep going. So anytime you do something you love, I don't do good on something I'm forced to do. I like something exactly. that comes from the heart that will keep me going. The other question, no, it wasn't a question. What's something you could send out to people who don't see anything good in traveling? Like, I don't travel. I have friends here in America that they don't travel. They are just, and I've seen this problem with them. Like, they only know where they were born. They have not left America to go to another country. They have not left where they were born to go to another state. So when I went there as somebody from Uganda, they had never, I think some of them didn't even know what Uganda was, like a country. So living with that kind of people was hard because their thinking was just on what they know around there.
Limited.
It's limited. So they didn't know how to treat me. They didn't know how to connect with me. They'd never seen anybody with my skin color. I mean, they might have seen or they might have like had things. And that's where you find the hardest. That's where I find the hardest. I found the hardest time to leave because people didn't know how to associate with you. Like even when you live with them being nice and trying to show them the good side of you, they didn't have that. So it was hard for me. And I think that for me, I saw that as like, these people need to travel, need to go to see different places, need to go learn different things. And that for me, that would be my answer for people who don't travel. What would be your answer for people who don't see travel as something important?
Because like I already mentioned, people show up for different reasons. And I never realized that until I started going for group trips. There's someone who's going to go on that trip. And for them, it's like a break from work. They'll drink on the first day and you probably have like a safari the next morning. They'll drink literally till morning. So by the time you guys are in the park looking for a leopard, a tailwitch lion, they are dozing. But they're happy. They're not missing out on anything. Yeah. And for them, it's not about what they're going to see. It's like they're away from maybe Kampala, the noisy city, everything. So for them, it's like a break and it is okay. And then, yeah, different people. Not everyone is there to necessarily see wildlife or nature. So some people, it is that. But I guess for me, I can sell it from a way of, in a way of something that is personal to me. Because for me, apart from liking it and it being sort of like a job, at least for now, I think I'll talk about how it has helped my mental health. I don't know about other people, but like for me, being in a different place, especially places that are surrounded with nature, water, that is why like 90% of my Instagram content has, you know, nature, forests, water, green, that. So for me, every time I'm around that, there's a way it sort of puts me in a more peaceful, it gives me a peace of mind mentally. You know, I feel better. By the time I leave that place, I don't know if it's just for a day or for a weekend. Even if it's just an afternoon and I'm just by the water, I'll not come back the same. And I know that mental health is something that a lot of people struggle with. But for me, that is the way I cope with it. And I don't need to travel. I mean, walk around. Is there like a small forest? Is there like a what? Even if you just take a walk, it could just do something for you. So for me, yeah, mental health could be a side that I see it from.
That is a great answer. And I like how us having conversation like this ends up to leading to healing, therapy, like things you do that help you to forget all the problems you have, forget all the things you're dealing with when you go out in even the fresh air, like you just go out, look at plants, look at things, it helps you forget all the things you have and it helps you heal. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And we need to discover things in life that are therapeutic for us, like things that calms you down, things that help you. And that's why for me, talking to people helps me a lot. And making this podcast, people might say, oh no, I gotta call it just content. But I do this podcast for me first, actually. And this is no offense to my listeners or anybody. Like, I do this for myself. And once I have people here to talk about, for me, it's a therapy for me because I'm far away from home. When I get to have you people on the podcast all the time, it makes me feel like I'm connecting with my people back home. I'm not feeling homesick. I talked to somebody who went to Chidepo. It makes me feel like I went to Chidepo, you know, like... As stupid as it sounds, like, for me, that's therapeutic, and that's why I do it. And then afterwards, I'm like, I bet there's somebody out there who will like to listen to this. And then put it up on YouTube, put it up on my podcast platform. Whoever wants, you can listen to it. My podcast, you don't have to pay to listen to it, and it's just out there. So in life, when we do things we love, it helps us in ways that we don't. So people out there might think of my podcast as on a color content, on a content creator. But deep down there, it's more than just content. Just like you just explained, it's just more than just content. It just helps you with mental health and just keep you doing what you love. The other question I don't want to miss, and we're going to talk about this, is you went bungee jumping. That that was crazy. I had Buscago. I don't know. Yeah, you know Buscago, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I know Buscago.
So Buscago went... he's not the one who did it. He was actually shot by Mo. He's the one who did the bungee jumping. Buscago just took the pictures. So I had Buscago on the podcast, and I was like, Buscago, you went bungee jumping? How do you do that? Like, I saw your pictures and your videos. I'm like, I'm going to talk to her about it. How do you get, I don't know. I don't know if this sounds bad. We call it, it's a slang. We say, how do you get the balls to do that? Like, how do you get...
It's funny because that had been on my list for like 3 good years, and the only reason I'd not done it is because, I mean, it wasn't in my budget then. Because the first jump is, I don't know about the other place that does it, but from Bungee Uganda, the first jump is 200,000. Then the second one is 150,000 shillings. Then the third jump is actually free. So, I'd get there and balance my money. I'm like, 200k, then transport to Jinja, then what? So it needed a whole budget. So one time I was actually on Twitter joking, like, I badly wanted to do that. I was like, I could even do it without, as making a joke. I'm like, how much if I want to do it without the rope? So the whole time, I didn't even know that the boss of the place actually follows me. On my Twitter, social media, and away against the whole time. The whole time, people are watching. So he invites me. So he's like, you can come through, you know, during the weekend and you do this, you know, come do your thing. I'm like, are you sure? So I got on the bus and I was in Jinja. I think that was last weekend and I did it. But I don't know about other people, but for me, the fact that Adore's wanted to do it, I'm not going to say it's not scary. It is scary, especially when you get on top and you get to sit down. Because, you know, when you're down and you're at the level of water and you see people, you know, falling into the water, I feel like this is doable. But then you start going up that bungee tower, and then now you get on top, and then because it's 44 meters from the tower to the water. And you're like, what was I thinking? How that? But then at that point, you really can't go back because everything is now done, the first and everything. And
My God. The first thing I've ever done was ziplining. Ziplining was scary for me, but now I could do it because I don't think ziplining is that bad. But the difference with bungee, what were you going to say?
I was going to tell you, ziplining is like the first step because for me, when I did ziplining, I remember it was also scary because I don't know which one you did. You probably did the Mavira one.
No, it wasn't in Uganda. This one was here in the States, the one I did.
Yeah. Even that one was probably scary because I remember when I did the ziplining, I was like, what? This is actually scary because, I mean, this is Lake Bunyoni. What if I get into this water? How do I even get out? I mean, these guys don't even know how deep this lake is, and I'm ziplining on top of it. Then I move on from that. Then I later do abseiling. Then I was like, wait, ziplining was actually not that scary. And then I get bungee jumping and I'm like, okay, the other two, they were jokes.
Yeah.
This is the thing. So yeah, the higher you go.
So I did this zipline. First I was scared. I didn't want to do it because I was like, man, the one we did, you go through a forest and there are trees and like it's just going so fast. And some people would like, I was holding on myself like this.
But then other people like would let flip upside down, and then the legs are up and the hands are down. I'm like, I cannot do that.
Yeah, so when you're on top, it is going to feel like, you know what, I shouldn't have even signed up for this, mm-hmm. but it's always worth it.
See, bungee jumping for me, bungee jumping for me is hard because I don't have anything to hold on to. You're just falling. You're going down and hoping that that rope doesn't snap.
Because midway, you actually start, you get to a point and you feel like nothing is actually holding you. Mm-hmm. So at some point in the pictures, you have to like hold the rope because you mentally have to keep telling yourself, no, the rope is actually there. Because you keep seeing the water, mm-hmm. you keep imagining, okay, what if nothing is still holding me and I'm going to fall into the water and drown? So, yeah, at some point you have to, you feel it, you want to feel the rope and make sure it is there. Yeah.
See, I feel like I'm adventurous, but that...
but not to that point.
No, not to that point. See, the thing I told Short by Mo, because I talked to him about it, was yeah. I would skydive, but I would not bungee jump.
With skydiving, okay, yeah, you kind of have a point, but nah. But skydiving is higher than bungee jumping.
See, so it's higher than... It's higher, but with skydiving, you have a parachute that they turn on,
yeah.
I think, midway of air. And the fact that there's somebody that's going with you, but too far for MB, I'm not dying alone. And it's like... people who go by themselves, they're experts, so they've done it like a million times. But when I'm going out to try it, I'm going with somebody. So if that thing goes wrong, yeah, at least I died with somebody.
But someone holding you doesn't guarantee you safety. Both of you could just drop on the ground.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think I would rather do that than bungee jump because, and this is the other thing, I'm not very good at individual sports, like individual activities. I like team activities. Individual activities, like,
yeah, but you know,
for me, my concern is just dying alone. No, it's not about height. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've laughed a lot about this, but yeah. For me, when I saw your pictures, but no, I had a question to ask you about bungee jumping. Like, when that rope is going, or did somebody pushes you, they push you?
You get to choose if they should push you or not.
Oh, about you? Okay.
Yeah, but I told the guy, I told him I'm feeling confident, but I know how I can go from 100 to 0 real quick, especially when I get to the edge
mm-hmm.
and see the water. So I told him, the moment I start telling you stories you do not understand, the moment I start talking a lot, just push, because that will be fear. So the moment I tell you, I tell what, I don't remember what I was telling you, just pushed him in sentence and I just went. I was screaming all through.
Yeah. I feel like I would pass out. I would faint midway going down. I would just pass out. I'll just pass out.
You should do it.
No, I don't do good with peer pressure because peer pressure might make me do it. I'm easily peer pressured. So don't, I know, I won't give people a chance to peer pressure. I mean, once they start that, I cut it out. No. Let's talk about something else. But anyway, in all the places you've traveled, what has been your favorite place?
That will be hard.
Yeah.
That will be hard. But of course there are places where you sort of get an attachment to, and for me that was Bwindi. I mean, I did gorilla trekking and all, but I love the kind of weather there. I love gloomy weather. So that is Bwindi for you, because it is literally cold throughout. And then so for me, waking up, because the time I was working there, I was working at a safari lodge and it was beach raised. So you'd get to see like the canopy and then is it called mist? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. mist on top of, like amongst the trees. And then because you get like a glimpse of Mount Muhawira from Kisoro and then like a snow cape on top. I I
think you have a picture of that. Don't you have a picture of that on Instagram? I think I saw I saw that.
So for me, having access to that every day was reason enough for me to wake up. And I know, of course, my workmates didn't relate to that. They used to make fun of me, because they don't understand how, as a Ugandan, snow or mist can just excite you like that. So I liked the weather in Bwindi.
That's good. I'm yet to visit Bwindi. I want to go visit that place.
You should.
The other topic I want to talk about, not a topic, but like a place you've been to, is Old Tux Park. And I saw Nabs did something about Old Tux Park, and you were there too to talk about it. When I saw the picture, it brought back memories. The first time I went to Kampala, I got lost in Tux Park of Anang. I almost took taxis that went to a wrong place.
But how? They are in public, those posters on top.
I don't know. I'd never been in Kampala. No, I think I had, but I was with my parents. So this time I would go by myself. Yeah. I get lost. They're just looking for customers. Which again, he's not going to. You tell the conductor, I'm going to Wakiso, Nibabanga again in Tebe. He was just, hey, you come.
They drop you somewhere in the middle and you have to figure stuff out.
Exactly. But no. What kind of content do you like to do in the Old Tux Park, like when you go there to visit?
Because, you know, initially it used to be a mess down there, like especially in this rainy season, it would be very muddy. Everywhere would be a mess. So we used to create content from there, but it was, okay, you know, it's just a park and all that. But after they renovated it at the beginning of lockdown, I felt like it was now worth showing off, because people would be like, oh, you guys have a nice park and all that, but it's very dirty. Because remember, people from everywhere else, they dump, you know how we are not so good with garbage disposal and all that, like all these bottles and, you know, plus a mud. So yeah, so for me, I remember after them renovating it, that was the time I felt like, okay, now we can show this off, because they tarmacked everywhere down. Mm-hmm. So it's now like close to perfect, and also they sort of decreased some of the taxes. They took them to like other, there's how they distributed everything. Then, you know, it's now a breathable space. Yeah. Yeah, so I think for me that was my favorite time.
I think I need to visit that place. I don't think I've been in that park for the last, I bet, 20 years or something. I don't know. It's been a long time. Every time I go to Kampala, I'm in like a private car, so I don't get to use the taxis. Yeah, I don't know the last time I sat in a taxi. It's a long, long time. But yeah, it's such a good place. When I saw the picture, it brought back memories. So it would be nice to go down there and just take a tour when I come back to Uganda. It would be nice to visit. I saw you in church today. So you go to church too? Oh, Saba Saba ko, eh?
First of all, I don't think I would have ever made it here without God.
Nice.
Honestly. Because I feel like, because, you know, with God, I believe everyone has a personal relationship with God. And for me, I know where he got me from to here. I know I could explain my journey the whole day, but someone will not exactly get it. Because there is a day I would beg God and be like, God, you know, I love these things, but I don't have a way of figuring this out. And, you know, you sort of hand over everything to God. And the funny thing with prayers is that sometimes you actually move on from the stuff you've asked God for. But then years later, something happens and you're like, wait, I actually prayed for this and now it is here. So for me, God has been there every step of the journey. I don't want to say I go to church every Sunday, but I do pray. I do pray. So yeah. I guess
in No, that was good. I like that I talked about that, because the way you answered it and the way you touched on it means a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was like, definitely, I need to ask you about it, because my podcast is not like, I don't label it like a Christian podcast. I host anybody who has a story to talk about. But anytime I get a time to ask somebody about God, and maybe somebody out there will hear that part, maybe that part will stick out to them when they know, oh, this talked about God and how he has helped her through this. So any minute I get to talk about God, I love it. But yeah, we're coming close to the end of this podcast. I really appreciate I didn't plan on laughing so hard, but the conversation was so good that I couldn't resist laughing. I can easily laugh, and goes back to what I said. It's therapeutic for me, and but I have a few questions I want to ask you before I let you go. The first question is, what has been a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
Life lesson, timing. I feel like throughout my journey, I have different examples, but I feel like there is a time where you get to and you probably want something so bad, you're like, oh God, I want to be driving by 25. But then I've realized that if you're not meant to have that car at 25, I don't care if you go and steal that car and force yourself to drive, it will in a way not work out. And I've also learned that when things don't work out at a point where I want them to, it is okay. Sometimes God is actually planning for you something better. But maybe because you're stuck to that and that is what you want to see, that's what you want to become, then you end up sort of forcing things and you sort of mess up with the bigger thing that is coming your way. So, and I'm saying this because I used to be over ambitious? Like I would even tell God what I wanted. I'd be like, God, at 25, I want this, I want this, I want to have done this. Mm-hmm. But then I've learned to learn that everything will happen even in an easier way without even me trying so hard at a moment where it is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so just go with the flow and do what you're able to do then. Don't overstress yourself. Just do what you can at the right time. Whatever you want, if that is what God has planned for you, it will definitely happen. So God's timing.
That's a mic drop. God's timing and God's speed. I'm not even going to add anything to that. The other question, what gets you excited about life?
What gets me excited about life? Life in itself.
Yeah.
For me, waking up and I can still breathe and I'm still alive. You see, you don't get to appreciate the fact that you're still alive until you see someone that is praying for even one more day, mm-hmm. even one more hour, one more day with maybe their family around them, one more day to see their kids, to see their grandkids. So for me, being alive is already a blessing.
That's great. That's a great answer. The final question, which is a signature question of the podcast. Who would you like to see on this podcast next? And you're going to help me and connect me to that person to be our next guest on the podcast.
Wow. I don't know how I forgot that part. I feel like you've hosted everyone that I know, though.
Yeah.
I feel like you've hosted everyone. Let me see. The cooking nurse.
No, I've not hosted
Rita.
Her. Okay. No, I've not had her.
Yeah. You definitely should have her on here.
Okay. So you're going to help me connect to her, and then I'll reach out to her and officially invite her to be on the podcast. Hopefully, she doesn't take a year like Eunice did.
No, she's not going to take a year. Yeah, she also actually has a podcast thing going on for her.
Does.
So it'll be easy for you guys to work on.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate
having me.
And thanks for remembering me that, hey, I'm in town. I want to do a podcast. And it was on your mind, so I liked that. That's why I didn't say, yeah, let's do it.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great rest of your evening. And nange kange ndendabe ase.
God.
Okay. Bye. Hey there. This is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we would love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.